That's Paramore here at Black Star, still in to use, coming up to 13 tonight. A couple of very special guests joined me in the studio this morning, and I guess ladies first, Senator Jan McLucas, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
And also ALP candidate for Cook, Billy Gordon. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning, Paul.
Good to have you in the studio. Now, we've got a couple of things, first and foremost, to talk about today. An article, the Abbott government has confirmed their plan to cut $43 million in funding out of Indigenous legal aid. What effect that is that going to have on those concerned?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to understand that, any cuts to frontline services to Indigenous communities is going to have a detrimental effect on Indigenous communities and Indigenous people. This does nothing to, alleviate the high rates of incarceration for Indigenous people within their prison system. And it's a worrying concern. I don't think it's a decision that has a lot of logic in addressing some of those systemic issues.
I see some of the figures since 1993. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children have gone from being 17 times more likely to be in detention to 25 times more likely to be incarcerated. So you think, if anything, funding should have gone the other way.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think, it's not as if there's an argument that throwing money at this problem isn't going to fix it. The federal government's actually come out and cut that. And I have some really real concerns because, if you think about Lotus Glen up on up in Mareeba there, up on the Tablelands, and you look at the population up there, the prison population, and I think you're going to find, a significant amount of the population are Indigenous people from the Cape and the Torres Strait. So I have some real concerns about any cuts to any preventative justice measures, and particularly preventative measures when it comes to, representing Indigenous people when it comes to them fronting up to court.
So what do you think the answer is in the shorter term, given that these cuts or funding is going to be lessened?
Oh, look, I think, I'll be on the phones over the next few days talking to a number of justice groups around the Cape, getting a bit of an idea about what they think are some of the, some of the key issues here and what their concerns are, and I'll be lobbying them to get in contact with their local member and their state member to and federal member to actually, have this federal government rethink this,
Yeah. All right, we'll keep a close eye on what's happening with regard to that. So no doubt you've got plenty of other things keeping you busy around the traps?
Yeah, look, there's a whole range of issues. Obviously I've been announced the Labor candidate for Cook to contest the next state election,
yep.
And that might be some ways off, but right now I think there's an opportunity or there's a real responsibility for the Labor government or the Labor Party here in Queensland to start, being an effective opposition to people, to the LNP, particularly in the Cape and the Torres Strait. Whole range of issues here in Cook, it's a diverse electorate. You've got Mareeba up there on the Tablelands, then you've got Moss and Port Douglas, and you've got the Cape itself, Cooktown, the NPA, and the Torres Strait, an eclectic mix of issues there.
What's your views? We've seen in the last couple of days $210 million to upgrade various projects on the Cape, but the push is for work to be done on the Peninsula Development Road.
Look, I think as people may know or may remember, I was the Labor candidate for Leichhardt, contested the last federal election, and the PDR, the Peninsula Development Road, was an issue that a lot of people talked to me about. I know that Peter Scott over at the Cook Shire there in Cooktown, wants a lion's share of that $210 million to go towards the upgrade of the PDR. It's a huge job, I don't know if that's going to, it's going to be feasible. I know that under the previous Labor government, federal Labor government, Anthony Albanese talked a bit about some of the other roads and other infrastructure projects up there that need to happen, and I think they still need to happen, I think the PDR is an important road. It is the lifeblood of, right up to the tip. For the Cape and the Cape communities, but I think I think that, like I said, those roads, particularly the Weeper to Marpoon Road, that upgrade needs to happen. I've spoken at length with Peter Guevara, the mayor out there, and how important that is for his community.
With the Peninsula Development Road itself, Cape York is seen as one of the last wilderness areas on the planet. I have seen in different articles. Should that road be bitumen topped to Campbell, it says Bitcham as far as Laura now. Do you think that'll change the way the Cape is? Obviously, it's not going to be in the short term.
Look, you know, potentially, you know, that's going to obviously improve access to Cape York. It's going to open up a whole range of, you know, social, environmental, economic, you know, issues and impacts. They all need to be considered. You know, I don't think that, you know, at the moment we're seeing a lot of consideration or a considered approach to, you know, I think major infrastructure projects up in the Cape, by the state or the federal government, just current federal government.
Now, Jan, you are calling on North Queensland communities and organisations to help develop the program for the Parliamentary Northern Australia Committee's schedule next year. What's that all about?
Well, as your listeners might remember, when the new government came in, they said they wanted to develop a white paper and a green paper and a white paper about what we should be doing in Northern Australia. So as part of that, the Parliament has established a parliamentary joint committee on the issues that face Northern Australia, and the Senate has appointed me to be a member of that committee. So as part of my role there, I've basically given a shout-out to the community to say, OK, where are the issues, what are the things that we need to consider when we are writing a report that will be part of this whole green paper, white paper process. We need to be able to make sure that we capture the breadth of issues. There's a lot of people talking about things like dams and roads and ports and stuff like that. But since I did that shout out, really, it's really interesting to see the different sorts of issues that have come to me. People want to make sure that issues like mental health concerns in our part of the world are considered. I've got an email back from a person who wants to make sure that we do get our fair share of education funding. We know, I'm an old school teacher, that we know that the way to get people the opportunities that they want is to make sure they get a good schooling, and that's why when we were in government we wanted to bring in a new funding system for schooling to make sure that our children in remote areas, our Indigenous children got the education that they deserve so that they can take the opportunities that they want to have. People want to talk to me about health, and not only mental health but health more generally. So I'm really pleased that people have taken the opportunity to write back to me so promptly, really, to talk about the things that are important to them. But, you know, Billy's right. I am sure that people want to talk about infrastructure as well. Yeah. People want to talk about roads. People want to talk about cost of living, particularly in our remote communities.
Yeah, well, I guess the health issues, the community issues, the education issues, and then you've got, as you said, the infrastructure and roads is going to play, no doubt, a big part.
Absolutely.
We were talking to Billy about the Peninsula Development Road.
Yeah.
And I guess it'll happen sooner or later. It'll eventually be bitumen all the way to the top.
Well, I remember when we were talking in the mid-90s about Cape York Peninsula, the land use strategy. Goodness, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And that debate was happening then. Do we actually want that road bituminised? And I think there are two schools of thought, but I think that we've also got to make sure that we get access to these remote communities so people can come and go under their own steam, because we know that the air flights are very expensive.
We've heard some stories. So right. It must make it difficult in some situations. But then again, the remoteness for some people is what makes the Cape the Cape.
Well, for a lot of tourists, I mean, they love the fact that you have to go on four-wheel drive and, you know, it's a bit of bush bashing when you get up to you know, to get across the Jardine and whatever. But I think there's a balance there, and I'll be listening to the people on Cape York rather than the tourists, I'm afraid.
Yes, yes. I don't think it'd be nice to see... Yes, we're going bush, just past 10 roadhouses and 4 caravan parks.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Now, if people would like to make submissions, I can do so on that up until the 16th of January next year.
Sure.
So what's the best means of doing that?
Well, email. And if you want to email me, senator.mclucas, MCLUCAS, at aph.gov.au. Or you can ring me on the free call number 1300 301 959.
Senator Jan McLucas, thanks for joining us. Very nice to have you in the studio this morning.
Great to be with you.
And also Billy Gordon. Thanks, Billy.
Thanks, Paul.
No doubt.
Pleasure.
We'll catch up with the both of you in the not-too-distant future.
Definitely.
Thanks very much. Black Star, it's coming up to 3 to 9. Gilmore Johnson along with the Morning Focus a little after 9 o'clock this morning. The news is next.